How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and of course the American Forces Network, the cable radio network. No way, if you're living on this earth, that you can find a way to listen to a Wrestling Observer Live. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. It is Wrestling Observer Weekends from here on out. We are here Saturdays as well at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. And yesterday on the show, we had a caller alert us that there is a matchup coming that he thought was very interesting. He explained that AJ Styles and Luke Hawks were going to be having a match. And the way he explained it, the storyline is that Luke Hawks can do the move safer than AJ Styles. I believe that's the way he explained it. Anyway, yesterday I received a message from Luke Hawks, and he said, "That is, if you want the real story," he said, "give me a call." And so today on the program, in about a half hour, Luke Hawks is going to come on this program here today. And he is going to explain what the storyline is behind his upcoming match with AJ Styles. We're going to get the real story from the horse's mouth here on the program today. Also talk about what Luke Hawks is doing in his life. Never been on the show, so it'll be a first-time appearance for him today on the program that's coming up in about a half an hour. And after all of the ranting and raving that we did yesterday about the 1995 Nitros being removed from the WWE Network, guess what, everybody? They're back! So we're going to talk about what happened there and what the changes were to the Nitro episodes that are now back on the WWE Network. So we actually have a ton of updates from yesterday's show. So it should be a good time later on in this program. We're going to head to our first break. We'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We got a ton of stuff to get into here today over the next 2 hours. In the next segment, we'll start taking your phone calls as well. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. You can email me at brian@wrestlingobserver.com. I am up on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. And Mike is on Twitter at Sempervivi. And although we don't publicize this a lot, and I don't even know why, we have an official website Twitter as well, which is at WONF4W. What could be easier than that? At WONF4W. Make sure you follow us there as well. Lots of news updates go through on that Twitter. And Mike, what's going on here today?
I'm just having fantasy football meltdowns the entire day, although I am happy because the Atlanta Falcons did beat Rodney Rogers' New Orleans Saints. So that means next week Atlanta plays Carolina, and if Atlanta wins, they are going to be in the playoffs with a 7-9 record.
Man, poor Rodney. One thing after another. How are the Seahawks doing? Is that my team?
Yes, it is. And I need a big game out of Marshawn Lynch tonight for purely selfish fantasy football reasons. But they also have a big game against the Arizona Cardinals, where if they win, they take control of the NFC West and knock Arizona down a few pegs. So you want to win this game tonight coming up at 8:30.
So this means we could end up in the Super Bowl again.
It is possible, yes. So you got to make it to the playoffs first. They are very much, they are pretty much all but in.
All right, enough of this rigmarole about these secondary sports. We got pro wrestling to talk about here today.
Yes, we do.
As noted on the program yesterday, I was scrolling through the WWE Network, and all of those 1995 Nitros had disappeared off of the network.
Because you thought you shook them up. You shook them up. You talked about those Nitros. You've been talking about those Nitros on the show, and all of a sudden, poof, they disappear.
Hey, maybe that's what happened. Well, guess what? We talked about them being gone, and poof, now they're back.
Exactly. You have shamed them into bringing them back and putting them back up onto the network. All of this is your doing, Brian Alvarez.
That's right. You know, it's funny. There is an Ask WWE Network Twitter, which I never even knew about it, to be honest. And I presume it's real. I haven't done a lot of investigation. But somebody went up and they asked the Ask WWE Network Twitter why these Nitro shows were gone. And the response that they got back was, "We need to make room for other programming." And all I could think was, make room? Is there a finite amount of space on this WWE network? You've got to cycle things in and out. If you're going to cycle something in and out, shouldn't you alert people that, for example, you better watch all of these 1995 Nitros when you can because they're going to be gone in 2 weeks? Wouldn't you want to give them an alert as opposed to just randomly taking stuff down that maybe people were in the middle of binge viewing like I was?
I would think so, and I wouldn't think it would be, you know, if they were going to do something and remove something to put something up like that, why wouldn't it be one of those really old things that they claim that nobody watches?
That's right. Why would you get rid of the 1995 Nitro? So that was allegedly from the Ask WWE Network Twitter, and anyway, they're back now, and it appears that what they did was they took them down to put some new graphics up. I don't know why you had to take all of them down to put the new graphics up. Why you couldn't just take one down at a time and redo the graphics so people didn't freak out for a few days. And this was several days, by the way. I first heard about this probably back on Wednesday or Thursday. But they're all back now, so we can all calm down. The 1995 Nitros are back on the WWE Network. And I gotta say, I'm not canceling the WWE Network. It would take a lot for me to cancel it because it is my job. I do watch a lot of old stuff on there. And I do love watching NXT every week. And I guess to be... Let's see, is NXT still available on Hulu? I know the Raw and SmackDown shows are. Can you still get NXT on Hulu?
I think you can. I never watch it that way, but I watched Raw today, and the graphic for NXT is still up there. I would assume that you can.
I think you can still watch it on Hulu. So I guess in that case, maybe I could cancel the WWE Network if I got really angry. But yesterday, when I was under the impression that they had cycled out the 1995 Nitro so they could put more stuff on there because of this finite amount of space, I got to say that when I heard that, I just thought, you know, if this was not my job, this would almost be the final straw for me, that they're now getting rid of stuff that I really wanted to watch and I had been watching. So I'm glad.
I have concerns like that as well, although they're more for that old stuff. They have made it very clear that there is a limited audience for that stuff. They have tried with WWE Classics on Demand. They have, you know, from the jump with this thing, they said they weren't going after YouTube, where a lot of people, you know, obviously have watched this older stuff. They weren't going to go after YouTube pirates and trying to take that stuff down because they figured it would draw people to the network. Now, I think that's a faulty way of thinking. With that said, I guess it seems to be correct that people are not clamoring for this stuff. And there's people like me that it's just not there. Although, then again, it is a self-fulfilling prophecy in that they haven't had a whole lot of stuff up there. And I have concern that before they even get things like Mid-South up there, they will claim that nobody watches the three shows that they have all spread out from WWF in the early 80s, which is a shame. They have all of this stuff and it's not up there. And it's troubling. And I have I just worry about them never putting any of that stuff up there by claiming there's no audience for it, even though they haven't put things like Mid-South up there that, I, to me, would play in almost any era.
Now, the good news, there is some good news about the network. They have added a bunch of stuff. They have added the original, the real legit original SmackDown, not the one with the Rock Triple H match where Shawn Michaels superkicked the Rock. That was actually the second episode. The original is up there right now. They've added Fuji Vice to the network. As we talked about yesterday, they've added some episodes of Primetime Wrestling, which I remember that I loved as a kid.
Tuesday Night Titans.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to take credit for this or not, but I do want to mention that about a week and a half ago, UFC on their Fight Pass, actually this was early December, so it was a few weeks ago, they announced that they were doing a 25 days until Christmas countdown. And what they were going to do was rank the 25 best UFC fights of all time. And every day on the network for 25 days, they would showcase a new fight. And this was an easy way to promote Fight Pass. It was an easy added bonus if you had Fight Pass. It was a fun little thing that would give you an excuse to go up there every day. And I remember on a Figure Four Daily, I didn't rant about it, but I merely pointed out, is it that hard to come up with ideas like this for the WWE Network? Why didn't they do 25 days till Christmas? The 25 biggest stars in WWE history, or the 25 biggest matches of all time, or whatever you want to do. Some sort of easy countdown to Christmas, just like UFC did. Well, they have just announced a couple of days ago that they are doing the 12 Days of Attitude. It is a countdown on the WWE Network. And if you want to, I guess, look at the... I guess it's the 12 biggest moments of the Attitude Era. Is that what it is here? I've actually got the press release right here. Beginning today, 12 Days of Attitude will bring new video on-demand content to the network. Each day, the subscribers will be able to unlock new programming in their video on-demand library from the Attitude era. There will be full episodes of Raw, SmackDown, and Heat, memorable moments from the Attitude era, such as training vignettes of Vince and Shane, and the interview in which The Rock and Mankind discuss The Undertaker and Big Show being buried alive. So they are doing a countdown. They note they now have 2,600 hours of content on the network, so they are, I guess, on their way to the 6,000 that we have. They need to get moving on that. So that is the new deal that they're trying right now. If you want to check out the 12 Days of Attitude on the WWE Network.
And they have done things like put As Seen on YouTube up there. That's been one of my things from the start, too, of, you know, all of this stuff that's up on YouTube that's on the WWE's own channel, all that stuff should be on the network, and it should have been that way from the beginning, where you took all of that stuff and you basically you'll throw out little vignettes and things like that and put that up on YouTube, but you want to use that to drive people into spending $9.99 on the network. And hopefully a lot of that older stuff, they have so much footage that they haven't bothered to touch. You know, that's still what I'm really waiting for, and the reason I hope that the network is really successful, because they own the rights to all of those things. And yeah, you can still see them on YouTube, but I would just prefer everything kind of be up, since they have the rights to it and they can clean it up and digitize it and all that stuff. I'd rather see it on the network.
All right, everybody, we'll head to a break. When we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls at 855-478-4478. So give us a call back in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And since Luke Hawks is going to be joining us in the next segment, I'm going to take this moment to say, for those of you that love this program, check out WrestlingObserver.com. That is our website. Daily news updates on the website and a ton of radio shows. If you love Wrestling Observer Live, and the only way for you to hear it is to listen on Saturdays, on Sundays, on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, etc., you are missing out. We do at least two shows every single day at WrestlingObserver.com, including sometimes three shows on Sunday. Not only do you get access to all of the brand new shows, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives. Over 6,000 shows are available in the archives. That's nearly three times the number of shows that are available on the WWE Network. You will never run out of audio. You'll have a hard time keeping up with the audio we put out every day. And if you do manage to keep up and you want more, you have 6,000 hours of audio in the archives to check out. It's only $10.99 a month. It is by far the highest quality and the best audio you will get anywhere in the world on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. That is guaranteed. If you like this show, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. And not only the newsletters, not only the audio shows, you get the newsletters as well, Figure Four Weekly and the Wrestling Observer. You can get the text or PDF of those issues for free as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. And if you're not a subscriber and you want to read this week's Figure Four Weekly or any of the recent Figure Four Weekly newsletters, they're all available on Amazon.com. You can head up to the Kindle store and type in Figure Four Weekly and check those out, all beautifully formatted for your Kindle or similar device. So check those out on Amazon.com. Let's head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Oh, man, Ryan, what a storm you have stirred up, my man.
I think everything's going to be okay. I've talked to Luke today.
You did talk to Luke today?
Just by Facebook, not an actual conversation.
Wow. Well, he's going to be on in the next segment, so we'll get his side of the story.
Did you like a status?
He liked my status.
Oh, that's good. Well, what's on your mind today, Ryan? What trouble are you going to cause today?
Well, I have a theory on CM Punk.
Oh, this will be a good one.
Okay, my theory is he's going to be a lot more experienced than what people think he is, because he's been off for 1 year so far. And I don't think there's any way he's a white belt, because let's say, Brian, if you became like a political science, you were to quit Wrestling Observer and become a political science podcaster,
that would
you
be
went
good.
To sit at home and eat donuts all day, would you?
Probably not, no.
Yes, but as Brian can tell you, as somebody that has been a BJJ practitioner, some people pick up things faster than others, and it's not like it's you can't unless they're just handing out these belts McDonald's style. It takes some time and effort to gain these things.
Well, here's the thing about all of these belts. At the end of the day, as anybody would tell you who's done jiu-jitsu for a long time, it is a piece of cloth wrapped around your waist, and they're all different levels.
You're saying it's a prop.
Well, I don't want to say it's a prop, and I don't want to disrespect any of the belts or anything like that, but if you have ever gone to a tournament, if you've ever trained jiu-jitsu, you know that there are blue belts that compete every single weekend who would probably beat a lot of brown belts and probably some black belts. That doesn't mean that the black belts are no good. It doesn't mean that the blue belt is a world-class... I mean, he probably is a world-class performer as a blue belt, but he may have been training for 9 years. He's just waited for his promotion to purple belt until he's beaten every single person that he can beat at blue belt. Does that mean if you have a guy who's trained for 9 years and he has a blue belt, and he goes up against a brown belt who's trained for 9 years, and the blue belt beats him, does that mean that the brown belt is no good? No, it's just... it's just jiu-jitsu. At the end of the day, it's just jiu-jitsu, and it's a piece of cloth around your waist. Not to disrespect any belts or anything like that. I'm very, very proud of my brown belt. But at the end of the day, it's a piece of cloth around my waist, and all I've really got at the end of the day is my jiu-jitsu. So whatever belt he is doesn't matter. All that's going to matter is when he gets into the cage with somebody and they go to the ground, is he better or worse than that person? Can he protect himself from that person? Can he dominate and beat that person? We'll find out.
Well, my question on the CM Punk is, has anyone in UFC ever downplayed their experience when they're making their debut so they could get an easier opponent or possibly have the opponent have a higher self-confidence that they could win the fight in that way? Knock them out easier.
Well, usually it's very difficult to answer this question.
There has been plenty of that, of people overly boasting what they can do or bragging about I can take. There's always that sort of thing. I don't know if, and especially in the early days of, you know, in Pride, like Stefan Lecko came over from K1 and he went over and nobody knew how bad his back was messed up. And that, you know, any injuries he had were downplayed because that's just what Pride did. They would have these stack the deck fights and, you know, a lot of wackiness like that. And I'm sure in the early UFCs, I mean, nobody knew exactly how deadly and how great Gracie Jiu-Jitsu was when they were getting in there and trying to perform. You know, a lot of guys didn't realize that the whole thing was set up for the Gracies to win. They wanted to win the whole thing. So as times changed and as things kind of balanced out and as information got out there, and I think things have changed, but I think the gamesmanship, I'm certain it's still there, just not to the level it may have been in the past.
Well, I mean, first off, you could have 25 amateur fights before you ever debut, and you go in with a 0-0 record, but you're actually a very, very experienced fighter. Or you could do one amateur fight, and then maybe you feel like, I got to get going on my pro career because I'm getting old. And you debut with exactly one amateur fight, and you've also got a 0-0 record. But you could go up against another 0-0 guy, and he could just slaughter you because he's got significantly more experience. I think that most fighters, if they're any good, they should be going into the cage expecting that no matter what a person's record is, no matter what a person's background is, you've got to go in there and presume that this person is very dangerous.
You never know what can happen in a fight.
Exactly. And it does seem that a lot of fighters do that until they've won, I don't know, 5 or 6 fights in a row, and then all of a sudden they have that one fight where they decide they're really good, and whoever this is, they can't hold a candle to them, and then they get beaten. It seems to happen at least once to everybody. But in general, you should go in with the mindset that it doesn't matter what this guy knows, doesn't know, what I think. I need to treat him like he's the most dangerous guy in the world. Anything else, Ryan?
Dang it. One final question. I foresee Eve Torres going into the UFC in the next couple of years once UFC moves into a sports entertainment company. Who do you see her fighting, and how well do you see her doing in UFC?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I would be surprised if Eve Torres ever fought. I don't see it happening. I guess it's possible, but
There are plenty of other Gracie women that are can do competition. I'm not even saying competition, but as far as full MMA fighting, there's plenty of other ones out there.
I've heard from people who have trained with Eve, and they said that she's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. And again, it's just a belt. But they did say that as a blue belt, she was a very good blue belt. And so I don't know what that means in terms of fighting. But
I tell you what, you know, there's a level because the way the sport has grown, and I know a lot of people may not like this, but there is the ability to have, you know, competition celebrity type things as the years go on. I'm not saying do it right now, but as things continue to grow and the competition for doing something like that, I think that would not be a bad thing. I don't think I don't want to see, you know, celebrity MMA fighting or anything like that. I don't care how well trained they are. I know somebody's got a CM Punk joke right there, but when it comes to grappling type competitions and things like that, that actually would be something that would interest me. A whole steady diet of it, no, but every once in a while, I would like to see that.
It can be done. What about Al Bundy against CM Punk? That's the one that's all over Twitter this weekend.
Al may have too much experience. In fact, I don't know. I know he did karate, and I know he does jiu-jitsu, and he's trained. He's been trained for a long, long time, or been training for a long, long time. He may actually have too much experience for Punk.
In MMA, they would probably. Well, there's the age issue as well.
Yes, yeah, and you don't know arthritis and everything. You don't know the injuries that both of these guys, and there's another thing with Punk too. I mean, in all seriousness, as things go along and as he goes through training camps and he, you know, gets an accidental nose broken and busted open and, you know, the concussions and everything else, it's, you know, this may never actually come to pass. And again, I don't think that's the end of the world or
I thought you guaranteed that he would never make it through a training camp, Mike.
I didn't guarantee it. I just said, I will believe it when I see it. And once again, I guess that's kind of what I'm saying right now.
I'll not believe in Bigfoot when I see him. I don't expect to ever see him.
I guess I'm downplaying that now. But so again, who else? I guess is the Power Rangers got too much experience? Has anybody decided to throw their hat in the ring for CM Punk?
I think this is common knowledge, but in case it's not, yes, everybody, Ed O'Neill of Married with Children and Modern Family and countless other television
shows. He'll bust your ass.
He is a legitimate jiu-jitsu black belt. He trained 17 years with the Gracies before he got his black belt. Since obviously
he can kick Steven Seagal's ass. Why don't we make that fight?
I would put so much money on Ed O'Neill.
So would I. It would be great. Hey, where's Mookie to take that action?
That's right. I'm counting down the days, Mookie. I just want you to know. We got to head to a break. When we get back, Luke Hawks is going to be on the show, talking AJ Styles, the Styles Clash, Ryan here, and more. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on Twitter, by the way, as I was throwing out all of the addresses earlier. I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Sempervivi. Of course, we've got the website at WONF4W and the Sports Byline Twitter, which I have not plugged in a long time, at Sports Byline USA. So follow all of those on Twitter. And we are very happy today to be joined by Luke Hawks, who is on the program to talk a number of different topics, including an upcoming battle with AJ Styles that we talked about on the program yesterday. Luke, what's going on?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
We've never had you on the show before. How is this possible?
Yeah, I know, right? It's groundbreaking. So about time, man. I got to say thank y'all for having me. So it's long overdue.
We can thank Ryan from Cumberland, who caused all of this trouble yesterday. When he called in with a scoop, he said, about AJ Styles, you and AJ are having a match, and it is being built around the Styles Clash. And now is your opportunity to explain the real story behind the stipulations in this match.
Yeah, where did this beef come from?
There's no confirmation that we have a match. So, and it's not over the Styles Clash. You know, like it's one thing, you know, I'm known for being a straight shooter in the business. You know, some people like it, some people don't like it. I call it like I see it. I back up my words. I don't care if it hurts somebody's feelings. I don't care if it makes me look like a jerk. And my whole thing with AJ was kind of came up together out that Wildcat era. So I was always like the younger guy, you know, the younger guy, because AJ was around a little bit longer than me. there's a, you know, there was a whole crew of guys there that were getting noticed, and AJ was the standout. He was the A plus kid, so to say. You know, he's the one that was getting a push and getting babied and getting handed to everyone. He went to the WCW, then he did the TNA thing after, and Ring of Honor and all that BS. You know, he got that whole time, though, AJ was babied, and in my eyes, AJ was always felt like he was better than everybody else because he was getting that push. And truth be told, at the time, was he better than majority of us there? Yeah, especially me, because, you know, I was still young in the business. I was growing. Wasn't nowhere near where I am today, and always felt like I was still treated that way after, you know, after all this time, after all this hard work I put in. So I started calling AJ out on it, and he just kept running, ducking, and it was a pain in the ass, you know, especially in a business when you work so hard. And my goal was to get in there with AJ and show him that he can't hang with me. But he just kept running, you know, and ducking, and then he'd make stupid comments like, who are you? You're nobody. Same BS that everybody always says, because I never had a major contract, which is cool. But here's the thing about that. Not to toot my own horn, but I'm one of the only guys who makes a living, actually makes a living, takes care of two kids, runs a business off the indies. You know,
well, talk about how you came up, too, because a lot of people, like you said, don't know that you've been around for a minute. I mean, you know, XPW was a promotion that if you followed wrestling, you know, as ECW and WCW started to get taken over by WWF, XPW kind of popped up there, and that's where you got your start. And that was, you know, in what, 1999? You've been around now for quite some time.
Right, 15 years. I just made 15 years in the business, and this will be my 16th year. And, you know, people don't understand the struggle. They say that crap, you know, who's this guy, whatever. That don't really bother me. What bothers me is the guys like AJ, who I see that were hand-fed, so to say, in the business, you know, and fed these top stars and made by these top stars, but don't give back to the business. That guys that want to, you know, just wrestle their friends and just want to wrestle in the top spots. They don't want to go back and wrestle, you know, guys like myself who have busted their ass, so to speak, who slept in their car, who drove across country. See, when I was coming up, I didn't have a wrestling school down here. I literally had to drive everywhere, you know, sleep in my car, work two or three jobs, hustle to get bookings, and build everything myself. I never got a main TV push. And I think I do pretty damn well for myself. I'm the
only
wrestler.
And where are you from?
I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay.
So, you know, there's not much in my area, so to speak. So there's you know, everything.
And AJ came up in Georgia where there's still tons of indie promotions, and he known NWA Wildside. Was it Fred Behrens? I can't remember what the gentleman's name was, Bill Behrens. And, yeah, he had always he'd had a glossier roll to the top than you did.
Exactly. And it was right there. And is that anybody's fault? No. It's not anybody's fault that I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, that there's no wrestling around me. That's why I built Wildcat Sports down here, to build up something down here, which, by the way, is one hell of an indie promotion. You know, we draw 800 to 1,000 people on average each show. So, you know, we don't get that East Coast, West Coast promotion, but we're starting to get a lot of branch out. We got a lot of good students, a lot of good talents, a lot of guys come from Texas, a few out of St. Louis, and then, of course, all the Wildcat guys. And we just had two phenomenal girls sign up that have been doing great. So, I like, you know, if anybody wants to check out Wildcat Sports, that's Cat with a K. Check us out, man. Check out wildcatsports.com. Check out our free YouTube stuff. We put out all our shows on YouTube for free. You know, we're not trying to make money off of selling the DVDs and stuff. We put out a free product. And just to get that exposure and try and get our guys' names out there, because there's some really good guys. They're just not on the East Coast, so they're not getting that Ring of Honor buzz and that CZW buzz, because, you know, most of the internet journalists live in that area. So they go
Where would you be having to try this match with AJ Styles? Would you want him to come to New Orleans? You got to try to book him for Wildcat? Or are you trying to do this somewhere else on the East Coast or something like that to get more eyeballs on yourself and on this situation with AJ?
Here's the thing is, I want it to be neutral territory. You know, and there's several promotions that have tried to book it, but AJ just ducked it for so long. And I got a little cough because got a little sore throat. But, like, there's one promotion right now, AML out of North Carolina with Brian Hawks and Tracy Myers, who run WrestleCade. They've been trying like hell to book it. And right now, supposedly, they've agreed to it with Bill Behrens and AJ. But it's supposed to be April 19th, but we'll see. You know, I won't believe it until I see it. The show happened in England. We were supposed to wrestle in England. It was built up for like 8 months, maybe 6 months, somewhere around that. The main event, the only promoted match on the card, AJ, the New Japan champ, versus me. And like 3 weeks before the show, I get an email from the promoter saying he can't afford the flight for me. And the match ain't going to happen. He's going to send me the pay. So, you know, I got pissed off about it. I started calling him out and stuff because it was bull. It was the only promoted match on the show. And 3 weeks out, I get, you know, I've wrestled for the company several times before in the past. So this time, all of a sudden, he can't afford my flight. When he added guys like Paul London and Spanky and a few other guys and all these New Japan guys, he kind of added them last minute. All of them got their flights. But the guy who was promoted didn't get his flight. So something don't add up to me. I mean, he still sent me my money. He sent me my pay. But that's not the point. You know, the point that the match was promoted. The match is something some people want to see. Like right now, people want to see the match. And, you know, if AJ keeps ducking, that's on him. But he's got no balls. He's not a man. You know, if you can't get in there and prove you're the best and prove, show me how good you are, AJ. Bottom line, show me how good you are. Step in there with me. Let me see if you're so much better than me and I'm a nobody and I'm this, I'm that. Show me.
So April 19th right now is the tentative date. And I presume you're expecting this to happen, but you're also not holding your breath. Is that the way we can... Should we buy tickets for this event yet?
That's on y'all. I mean, let's see if AJ claims it, and let's see if AJ promotes it, if AJ says he's actually going to do it. So far, like Bill texted me earlier, and we kind of got into it a little bit, because, you know, Bill represents me. Bill also represents AJ. We don't see eye to eye all the time. Bill doesn't like the way I do things. Bill doesn't like my attitude, but that's me. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not the typical yes man in wrestling. It's done well for me. That's just me being an honest person. I'm not a guy who's going to say one thing to you, you know, see your face and another thing behind your back. If I have ill will towards you, I will say the exact same thing behind your back that I'll say to your face. That's just the kind of man I am.
So how does the Styles Clash play into this, and what are your plans?
The Styles Clash, this is where that came from. I don't know where the fan got. I said I can do it safer. I never said I can do it safer. I said I can do it better. I said, AJ, the reason AJ's hurting guys, he's not big enough. He's not strong enough. I'm doing it to the guys that are 6'6", 6'7", you know, 275 pounds. AJ's dropping guys that are like 6'1". AJ's a smaller guy. AJ's not strong enough. So he's not working with Chris Daniels. He's not working with Kaz. He's not working with those guys he's used to working with. So that's why I think he's having all these problems with it.
Now you are not 6'7". What is the secret behind being able to do the Styles Clash on dudes that are this big?
I just think it's strength. I mean, there's an old saying in wrestling: don't have a finishing move that you can't do to everybody. You know, I mean, take guys like Big Show out of the equation, right? I mean, how many Big Shows are there in wrestling? But there's some bigger guys in wrestling. But you're if you have a finishing move, your finishing move should realistically be able to, you know, go through 80-90% of the roster, I believe. What do you guys think?
Well, AJ Styles, being what move would you give AJ Styles at this point? Because, you know, even though he's looked good in New Japan, he is taking a lot of punishment in his career, and he's doing a lot of long distance traveling now and a lot of traveling on the indie scene and everything. And he may be starting to get a little bit more long in the tooth, I guess we should say, to be nice about it. What move would you give an aging AJ Styles if you had to give him a move?
What a troll you turned into today, Mike.
Man, I think he'd be good laying down on his back and looking up at the lights. It'd be a perfect move for him.
Wow. Well, you know, so I have heard a rumor, by the way, since you mentioned your promotion and I believe also wrestling school. Is it true that one of your students has been approached by WWE? Can you comment on that or no?
Several. We just had one that actually signed, and the week before he was leaving, he got released because of budget cuts. And we haven't really announced that he got released yet, so tonight I'm announcing it on air. It's the first time I'm saying it. No hardship with WWE. A lot of people know they made a lot of cuts. And, you know, Willie Mack was one of those cuts. There's a few others that on the indie scene that were signed and got released and it's kind of been kept quiet. But they just didn't go. There's still interest there. The kid did nothing wrong. There's still interest. They still may bring him in sometime after next year. It's just one of those things you can't control. That's true. There's interest in a few of other of our students. So they got some girls, right? Like I said, my girls are interested in one of my girls. And they also talked to another one of my students, but he couldn't go right now because he's a young kid, 24, I believe, maybe 20. He might be 25, but he's a smart kid. He contacted me for about a year before he came to my school. His name's Jay Spade, and really, really good-looking kid, really athletic, smart kid, college degree, owns a furniture store. He wanted to have health insurance before he started wrestling. Mm. So he made sure to save his money, get his health insurance paid for before he started my wrestling school. And now he just opened up a daiquiri shop here. So WWE started talking to him. And right now he just said he couldn't do it because he, you know, he's tied up with his business, his second business he just opened here. There's not a lot of cats like that in the business. Most cats that are 24, 25 still live with their mom or, you know, they're
not thinking as long term as he is, especially on the insurance end.
Right. He's a smart kid, so like I said, they were, you know, they had hopes with him. They didn't flat out say, "Hey, we want to hire you tomorrow." They said they were interested. They wanted to send him down to Florida. He just told him he couldn't do it because, you know, I'd hate to get y'all's hopes up and say y'all offer me something, but I just opened up my second business. I just took out the business loans. It's, you know, so I mean, he's got his ducks in a row. He's a good kid. So I mean, maybe down the line, but just right now, it's not the time for him.
Well, listen, before we wrap up this segment right here, since you mentioned the school, I want to give you a chance to plug the school. For those of you that want to learn how to do a Styles Clash properly, Luke Hawks here will help you do that and give everybody some information about the school and how they can contact you.
We're out of New Orleans, Louisiana. We train 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturday mornings. We have a great team. Check us out at wildcatsports.com. That's WILDKAT. Check us out on YouTube, check us out on Twitter, check us out on Instagram. It's all at Wildcat Sports. You can check me out on Twitter, LukeHawks504, and Instagram and Facebook. My Facebook's full, but I think you can still follow me. We post everything. Our website, Wildcat Sports, usually post any event we got coming up. We just started working with Booker T's promotion, ROW out of Houston. We're doing a lot of mixed stuff. You know, we're sending our guys are getting good exposure. They're going out. They did some East Coast stuff. They did Maryland Championship Wrestling. They just started going out to Florida, doing some stuff with a few promotions out there. So they're really starting to build up some momentum and pick up speed, you know. So it's good to have it. It's good to have a good team like we got. We have
Well, actually, Luke, we've got to head to commercial. Stand by. We'll hold you on for one more segment here. So stand by, everybody. Back in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. All right, now we're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Jump the gun there. We got Luke Hawks here on the line, and we've run down a bunch of things that you can check out in regards to him. And Luke, one more time, your Twitter, Facebook, etc. account.
Twitter is LukeHawks504, Instagram LukeHawks504, and Wildcat Sports at Twitter and Instagram. Check us out. Check us out, like I said, on YouTube. And I wanted to also give a shout-out to my boy Benny Lopez, who's a loyal listener to y'all's show. He loves y'all, so I told him I'd give him a shout. He's a good friend of mine who works out on the East Coast, man. Thanks for listening.
A big shout out to Benny. Well, Luke, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I will keep in touch, and we'll do a longer show sometime down the road and talk about your whole career.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate y'all having me on. Thank you.
All right, thanks so much for coming on. And, of course, we got another hour here on the program, everybody. After the top of the hour break, we'll go back to your phone calls. What do you have to talk about here? 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. We could talk last night's UFC event in Brazil. We've got Raw coming up again tomorrow. The build for the Royal Rumble should be beginning in about 2 weeks. Until then, I don't know what to tell you. We may have some non-exciting television. And by the way, did you watch the week of WWE on USA Network? They had Tribute to the Troops. They had a live SmackDown. They had all sorts of stuff. We'll talk about that as well. Whatever's on your mind after the top of the hour break, give us a call. We will be back in about 7 minutes, so stand by, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, as well as the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. So many ways to listen to this, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the entire world. And Mike, we spent the first hour talking all sorts of different topics, including interviewing Luke Hawks, who you proceeded to rile up, trying to cause problems between him and AJ Styles. Why do you have to do that, Mike?
I was just asking him what move he would give AJ, you know, the
you
way
troll?
He was talking about.
You know what you remind me of, Mike? I'm watching Primetime Wrestling. You're playing Bobby Heenan.
I would never do such a thing. I don't even know who that guy is.
I should have said, will you stop in the middle of your line of questioning?
Sorry, Gorilla.
I love this show. I'm watching a 1986 edition of Primetime Wrestling. As much as I rant about the WWE Network and their lack of promotion, don't get me wrong, I love the WWE Network. There's a lot of great stuff up there. I'm just baffled at some of the horrendous
promotion. Why are they not pimping it?
Promotion.
Like the Bobby Heenan DVD I talked about yesterday, which is available up there that people don't know. Look, there's nothing on there.
I did not know that, in fact.
That they have to be upset about or edit out or anything like that. There's no reason to bury that. It's a great story, and it's a great DVD. They should be pushing the heck out of that and tying it in with the fact that you can see these primetime wrestlings and see the interaction between Gorilla and Heenan. It's great.
I love that they got the imaginary video wall in the background and they promote a match and then they turn together and they look at the wall.
Yes.
It's awesome. All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, we will take your phone calls. So give us a call, 855-478-4478. Toll free, 855-478-4478. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Callers already on the line. If you want to join them, the phone number toll-free in the United States and Canada is 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Let us know what is on your mind. You can also contact us on Twitter at Brian Alvarez or at Semper Vivi, or preferably both. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is David in Atlanta.
David, what's going on?
I was calling just about kind of the WWE creative. I think that you've said it a few times that, you know, even though people think things will get better as the Rumble comes around, it's kind of, this year it seems unclear, and that seems right to me. I mean, if you look back at some of the creative they've had this year, it's just been so bad. I mean, think about Wyatt and Ambrose right now, that feud, they're sort of, what's the story of that? There's nothing. It's the same thing every week. The crowds don't care. It's like that Paige-AJ feud earlier in the year. It was just the same thing over and over. And my question is, can we really blame this all on Vince McMahon? I mean, the writers say all the time, oh, don't blame the creative team. It's all Vince. It's an audience of one. But don't they, I mean, these ideas that get put out there are just terrible. Do they really start out as good ideas and then they filter through Vince and they just turn to garbage? Is that really what happens?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, there is the audience of one that everybody talks about. Even the wrestlers talk about it. The writers know that they have to write something that is going to entertain Vince. And
that can stifle creativity,
yeah,
somewhat.
Yeah, they know that, you know, you can't do a storyline based around two guys wanting to have a wrestling match. So once you eliminate that as a possible storyline, you're already going down a bad path. And I don't know if there is a solution to this. When WWE is at its best, it is usually when they focus on a fairly simple storyline and it involves two performers who aren't afraid to speak their mind and are dynamic performers. You get a Shawn Michaels involved, you get a Triple H or a Undertaker, for example, when he's getting ready for WrestleMania, or a CM Punk or a Rock. I mean, yeah, it's going to be good because these guys are great. When you're doing storylines based around a, no offense to any of these guys, but a Jack Swagger, a Dolph Ziggler, any of the undercard or the midcard or any of those guys, these guys are afraid to rock the boat. They're not going to speak up. They're going to read their lines exactly as they're supposed to. I mean, even Dean Ambrose was talking about, he did an interview recently, I believe on Jericho's podcast, and he's a very interesting, dynamic personality, but he mentioned he's got to read these scripts word for word. And he's never liked a single promo that he's ever done in WWE. Think about that. Of all of the Dean Ambrose promos you've seen, he hasn't had one promo that he personally has liked. There was a time where when you had to cut a promo, it was your promo, not somebody else's. So the problems in this company go very deep. Vince McMahon is a large part of it because he is the final editor. But there is also the issue with the creative team. I mean, you also have to consider that it is a very young creative team. And a lot of them grew up on WWE wrestling. And they don't know anything else. They don't understand successful wrestling angles and promotion from other companies and other countries and New Japan and Mexico. They don't understand this, and they don't have different ideas that they can pull from.
They all lament, you know, or at least we all lament, from those from a different era, the 25-minute opening to the show. That's all that a lot of those guys know, is the 25-minute talking segment to open the show.
Yeah, that opening, that segment is brutal. It just seems like to me there's been sort of a notable downturn in the creative since, say, June, which is around the time they had all the layoffs. I'm just wondering if they fired the wrong people, however many creative people they fired, they kept the bad ones and got rid of the good ones.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call, first off. There have been certain guys that have done better than others. There, Eric Pankowski, I believe was his name. He was there a couple of years ago, and as soon as they got rid of him, it kind of all went into a spiral. I think that there are some people that work in creative who have a better relationship with Vince McMahon, or a more productive relationship, I will say. They're more willing to tell him no. They're more willing to fight for their ideas. They're more willing to concentrate on a single vision. I think that there are guys like that, but overall, the turnover rate for creative is very, very high. And so you'll get a guy like that, and he'll be successful for a while, but he'll get frustrated, he'll have offers elsewhere, and he'll leave. And so I think that we will always, I mean, you hire enough people, there's 26 people or whatever on the creative team, you hire enough people, and inevitably, you're going to have periods of good creative, because you're going to find the right guy. But he's not going to last, because they never do, for the most part. And we'll be right back where we were before. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Arkansas.
Hi, John. What's up?
Oh, not much. Sitting here listening to the show and making some hearty winter stew.
A hearty winter stew.
Is it something that you hunted and killed that's in the stew?
Yeah, is it a reindeer?
No, this is semi-homemade. Half and half canned, half cooked.
That sounds delicious. Well, other than that, what is on your mind?
Other than that, I was just going to say I had heard the piece you did with Lou Cox and the topic about AJ Styles and the Styles clash. I don't know. I mean, I understand he did an interview with you guys and he was mentioning that the bookers over there prefer him to use that particular finish, but I think if you were as a talent or a little hesitant about your ability to perform a finisher anymore, then you should immediately stop using it and alternate to something you feel more comfortable with.
Well, two things. First off, he was bringing up that the bookers were telling him what to do because that's just what the bookers are telling him to do. He was essentially saying that if you're blaming me for doing the Styles Clash on everybody, it was a decision that was made by the booker. Now, he never said that he was not comfortable doing the Styles Clash. We talked to him off the air. He is very comfortable doing it. He doesn't think that he ever does it wrong. He thinks that whenever there is an incident, it's because the other person made a mistake. He said, I have never had somebody land wrong who did not come up to me afterwards and they apologized to me. They said, I'm sorry. I know I wasn't supposed to duck my head, but I did anyway. I'm sorry. So he doesn't feel that this is an unsafe move or that he's doing it wrong.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that he was uncomfortable with it, but I was just saying in general, if a talent was unhappy with the way they were performing a signature move later after they'd done it for so long, if you don't think you're doing it the way you should be doing it anymore, then stop using it. If you're concerned that you could possibly cause some damage and that there's just like a shred of doubt that you're going to cause some sort of dangerous affliction to happen, don't do that move. Do something different.
Well, there have been many guys in wrestling history who, as they've gotten a little older, they've taken certain moves out of their repertoire. But he doesn't believe that it is time for him to take the move out of his repertoire. He thinks that he can do it just as well as ever.
That's up to him.
What's happening over there?
We got action going on.
I was
going to
say, keep an eye on that Stew.
Stew's fighting back.
That's right.
Yeah, just a tad bit.
You know, another thing, since you mentioned the bookers in Japan, and I want to thank you very much for the call, especially during cooking. The move, because of the way that things work in Japan, is now super over because the fans know that guys have been hurt, and now it is considered like a dangerous move. And so when he goes to perform the move, it gets a big reaction now because they know that this is the famed neck-breaking Styles Clash that AJ is using. It's a very strange culture, Mike.
Well, I don't think so. I mean,
maybe not strange.
I mean, look at Ox Baker's heart punch when he passed away. I mean, the big gimmick behind there was how many people, when he went into a territory, did Ox Baker kill? We know of at least two. The number may be four. But yeah, I mean, it's the other reason. Nobody else was using that move. Hiroshi Tanahashi was. But it is a move that is a signature of AJ Styles that he has been using here forever. And Tanahashi's got other moves. He's got the high fly flow, and he's got the
actually, hold that
blade,
thought, because I want to talk about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, are you aware that aside from my birthday, and of course my anniversary, that today is my favorite day of the year?
Really? No, I did not know
it
that.
It is the solstice, the winter solstice, which means it's the darkest day of the year, and it's all uphill from here.
See, oh, okay, I was wondering why the longest day of the year with the most amount of darkness would make you happy, considering how much you hate the darkness and the cold and all that sort
of
stuff.
I'm happy because it's over. Starting tomorrow, the days are going to get longer and longer.
Ready for that tan again, aren't you?
To me, this is the end of winter and the beginning of spring. That's the way that I look at this, so I'm very happy here today.
Even the winter really is just starting now.
That's right. I want to mention one thing quickly about Tanahashi. And this, if you don't follow New Japan or know anything about New Japan and you only follow WWE, this will be so mind-boggling to you. But think, Mike, about the fact that Tanahashi was using the Styles Clash and AJ Styles, an outsider, came to the company. And they gave him, and they allowed him to use the Styles Clash, and they took it away from the New Japan guy. Can you imagine that ever happening in WWE?
Oh, absolutely not.
Like if
absolutely
Bobby Roode not. Came to WWE and they told John Cena he had to stop using the AA.
Yeah,
laugh at how preposterous this is.
The best you could possibly get would be a battle over the maneuver, which would probably be guaranteed that the guy who is the WWE star or the established guy would be the one winning, unless it's somebody they just want to bury into the ground. If somebody came in with a flashier ankle lock, I have a feeling Jack Swagger would be out of luck.
And you know what? I just thought about this. If you look, Bobby Roode is right now the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. AJ Styles was in TNA forever, and he was a champion as well. Tanahashi is, or was, or is right around, the biggest star in all of New Japan. So my analogy of Bobby Roode going to WWE and them telling John Cena to no longer use the AA because they were going to give it to Bobby Roode, they were going to allow him to continue using it, that is a perfect analogy. Maybe the first one of my life.
The secret guy who gives you the
secret
UFC
psychic
picks?
Spy? No,
yes.
I thought
did
of that
they
on my own.
Did that information into your ear?
I actually thought of that on my own. I also want to mention this. We've been plugging our Twitters all day today. I believe John here, he sent me a Twitter, by the way. He has gotten a photo here of the stew. He sent me a picture of the stew that he is making.
Ooh.
I'm going to retweet that to everybody. By the way, I am at Brian
venison
Alvarez.
Venison is delicious, by the way. You brought up reindeer. Venison in a stew is great.
Sure. I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Sempervivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. And the website is at WONF4W. Now, on my Twitter right now is a tweet from Wrestle Radio AU. I presume that's Wrestle Radio Australia, who I cannot read this on the air because this is over-the-air radio. But they are accusing us of complaining. And I think they're talking about the WWE creative when we went off on the WWE creative rant. If anybody listening right now would like to call in and defend WWE Creative and defend Raw over the last 3 months or so, I will be happy to give you an open forum. I will listen to everything that you say.
Oh, please do sell me on how good these shows
sure.
have been, especially the ones leading into the pay-per-views. Please let us know.
Calm down, Mike. You're getting out of control, like in that Luke Hawks interview.
Sorry.
But yes, listen to Mike, everybody. If you want to call in, the forum is open for you. 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Mike, if you were ranting and raving about the G1, for example, I would think you were out of your mind. But complaining about Raw, I can't imagine anybody defending Raw these days. It seems impossible to me. But the phone lines are open if you'd like to try.
I could see people going, "Oh, what are you complaining about? You know, it's been beaten to death." Or, but that's the when you're the number one company and you're the one with 5 hours and this week, what was it, 6 hours of network TV. And I take that back. Tribute to the troops, you have to take out of that. That's a special thing. But the TV hasn't been good. There's been a lot that has not been good, and all of these things that, again, you know, the issues that they've had. Frustrating. It's very, very frustrating. And again, when you're the biggest show in town and you're the thing that most people want to talk about, what can you do?
We've got a caller on the line. I hope he's calling to debate Raw. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Frank from New York.
Frank, what's going on?
Well, it's not actually to debate. It's actually to be on your side here, Brian, because I think I can add more fuel to the fire as far as being on your side.
All right.
Basically, what happened was I got the WWE Network for free for the month. I wanted to check it out. I was thoroughly disappointed as there wasn't as much material as I thought there would be. And after finding out this week that they're actually pulling material off, I'm glad I didn't purchase it for this month. So for the most part, I had the network for free, and I knew that Sting was going to be there, you know, a couple of days prior. And yet, I still did not care about watching Survivor Series, even though I could see it for free, even though I knew Sting was going to be there. I did not care to watch it for free. However, I will be purchasing for over $50 the New Japan Pro Wrestling show on January 4th for the Tokyo.
Whoa, hold on a second. Over $50?
I believe that's how most pay-per-views cost. Is it over $50?
No, you're lucky. I think isn't it only $24.95, Mike?
Yeah, it's only that, and then if you order NJPW World, which is their version of the WWE Network, the streaming over-the-top service that they have, I think it translates into $8.38 right now, U.S. It's 999 yen.
Does that come with
see what
the
they did there?
Though?
No, the New Japan World will be the Japanese. You'll have to get the $24.95 to hear JR.
Oh, well, I would be more than willing to pay over $50 for New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's how interested I am in this. And yet, I wasn't willing to even watch the Survivor Series pay-per-view for free. So I was just trying to call to help
you
out
that,
there, Brian.
And I bet you there's a lot of people, and again, I don't know what the views do first run as opposed to replays, but that's the other thing when it comes to these pay-per-view slash special events. You know, when you don't put any effort behind them and people have the ability to just watch it whenever they want and start it whenever they want, it being must-see programming and it being appointment viewing is out the window. It really is. And when you have a series of these poor shows, again, when they first started going to these special event, quote-unquotes, or doing it on the network, they started off very strong. They have let that atrophy along with the rest of the programming, to the point where you don't feel bad about missing these because I can watch it later, and if I hear the whole thing stinks, I'll just ignore the whole thing altogether or fast forward to the one thing I want to see.
Anything else there?
Well, no, just to talk to Mike, I will be purchasing the New Japan Pro Wrestling streaming one actually in a few days. And I will be enjoying it for the rest of the time. I have no plans of ever going back to the WWE anytime soon because the way I see it, it doesn't matter if it's just good from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. Then I got another 9 months of just awful stuff to watch. So I've finished with the product. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And now that I got New Japan Pro Wrestling and enough DVDs of Mid-South and World Class and AWA to boot, I'm good for the rest of my time. And I wish you guys all the best as far as watching the WWE for the next several months.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I might add, by the way, that Wrestle Radio AU just responded that, in fact, they weren't complaining at all. And they have put the hashtag Raw sucks. So far, we haven't found anybody
here.
See
what's happened to your attitude? You think you are the reason that they have driven programming away from the network and bringing it back on? Look what you're doing to these people.
I don't know.
Power of Brian Alvarez.
How about the power of their own bad booking? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not writing these shows. If you want to give us a call, everybody, 855-478-4478. If you want to call and defend Raw, this is your opportunity. I once heard Rush Limbaugh ranting about how he took a great career risk on Fridays because he did open lines. You could call about anything you wanted. And all I could think was, you don't do open lines, buddy. We do real open lines here because I don't even have a call screener. If you call this number, you're on the air. No screening. So
the
if
old
you
days of Larry King overnights where he'd get trolled by Howard Stern listeners and things like that.
Hey, that's what this show is about. It's open lines. So if you disagree with anything I say, there's no call screener that's making sure that you're agreeing with me and Mike.
Don't be scared.
If you really think that the WWE product is awesome right now and you disagree with us, give us a call, 855-478-4478. Did you watch Tribute to the Troops, by the way?
I did not.
I did not, man. How about SmackDown? The live SmackDown?
Nope, didn't do that one either. Did watch NXT, though.
And how was it?
That was very good because I got to see Aaron Neville because he sings now, but Adrian Neville face off against Kevin Owens, which was very good. And again, they've set that up. I guess this was the set of tapings that they did that are going to take him through January. And again, there's a lot you can see bad about WWE and their booking and the network and all that stuff. But NXT has been very, very good. It continues to be very good. And that's the one silver lining in all of these dark clouds is how standalone, how good of a product NXT can be. And for the old school wrestling fan, it's a nice throwback style show with a lot of great flashy aesthetics with the lights and how they have Full Sail set up. And
all right, stand by there, Mike. We'll pick this up after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every weekend, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We also replay on Saturdays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And on Monday morning at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And if you love this show, but you only hear it on the weekends, you are missing out. Every single day at WrestlingObserver.com, we do at least two radio shows, sometimes as many as three. If you're a subscriber to the website, you get not only the full access to all of these shows, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives. WWE Network currently has 2,600 hours of content. The Wrestling Observer website, 6,000 hours of radio shows. Most people cannot keep up with the amount of radio that we put out. If you can, you've got another 6,000 shows available in the archives. You also get full access to the weekly Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly as well. And by the way, if you don't subscribe, Figure Four Weekly is available in the Kindle store on Amazon.com if you search Figure Four Weekly. But as I've mentioned many times, if you like this radio program and you are not a subscriber, you are missing out. I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up and check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. And we're going to head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Giovanni from Rockland County, New York.
What's going on?
How you guys doing?
Very good. What's happening?
Nothing much. I want to let you guys know that I subscribed to Figure 4 Online last month, and I'm enjoying it. Just like you said, you guaranteed a good time listening to all the radio shows, and I'll tell you, I'm listening and I'm loving it.
I love callers like this because I'm unsolicited. This is an unsolicited call, but I appreciate it very much.
No problem, no problem. And I want to ask you guys, next month, my buddies and I were planning on going to a live show. We know there's going to be some Impact tapings in New York City at the Manhattan Center. And there's going to be a Ring of Honor show that AJ Styles is going to be at in Philadelphia. And we just want to ask you guys, where do you guys think we should go? Where should we spend our money?
Oh, man. Well,
it's kind of a loaded thing because you get to be a part of kind of the history, the first tapings of the Destination America Impact show. And you could say you were at those things, but it's hard, you know, the way ROH has been going, at least to me. It's no offense to Lashley and Rude and the guys that Impact has, but it's hard to go against those ROH shows when you got AJ Styles and the Young Bucks and all those guys, Fish and O'Reilly, Lethal. They've had some really, really good shows.
I gotta agree with Mike, and I'm going to tell you why. I don't want to come across like I'm burying TNA here, but the reality is, since they have gone dark and since they're about to start up in January, we don't know anything. We don't know who's going to be there. I mean, they've got a list of guys that are going to be at the show, but we have no idea what their kind of production they're going to have, what they can afford, who's going to be there. It is a complete shot in the dark what you're going to get if you go to that Impact show, but you pretty much know what you're going to get if you go to ROH. So if I had to make the decision, I would probably go to Ring of Honor just because I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah, Impact's had some really, really good shows too, you know, when they were out there. That's the one thing, you know, no matter how bad the TV may have been, the house shows, and even the live event feel when you went for tapings at arenas, the crowds weren't big, but they did make you actually feel pretty good. But everything, like you said, everything has changed now, and you just don't know. But to go for the novelty factor, I would say that would be the reason I would go in that direction over ROH.
Yeah, it's tough, though, because you got two, you know, high-level wrestling crowds. You got the New York crowd, you got the Philly crowd. So, you know, we appreciate you guys' opinion, and we're going to make a decision soon.
Well, when you get back, I want to thank you very much
for the
call. When you get back, give us a call and let us know what you thought of the show. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Chris, it's Brian in Las Vegas. Hey,
hold on a second. Hold on a minute. You said, yeah. Hey, Chris, it's Brian from Las Vegas.
Got some lean in the cup, some eggnog has excited this man today. He
That's
forgot his
right.
own name, Chris, my God.
Have you been drinking, Chris?
No, I have not.
Okay.
You celebrating NFL victories that you put in on sports books today?
No, been grading papers of all things.
Oh, man, well, that'll make you forget your name. What's going on?
I've been going back like you and watching the old Nitros, and I'm kind of ahead, and maybe I just need to keep going because I was
well, hold on a second. Hold on. Let me stop you right there. How far ahead are you?
I'm in about like episode 65.
65. That doesn't help me. So you're a year ahead?
Like November.
Oh, November. Okay. 96. Has it moved to 2 hours yet?
Yeah, it's 2 hours.
Oh, God. When did it move to 2 hours? I should know this.
I don't know, because I skipped some episodes, and I kind of got to the part, I think I skipped to like August or September, and I started there.
And it was already 2 hours by then?
Yes.
I know, we're at the end of December 95, and I know that it moves to 2 hours pretty soon, but I can't remember the exact date. And I'm kind of dreading it because I love the one-hour show, but I wanted to know if you knew exactly when it switched over. If everybody knows, just send me the news on Twitter. Anyway, go ahead.
Maybe it's just me and I need to keep going, but I'm watching and Benoit's a horseman. Jericho, as much as he complained about his beginning tenure at WCW, he appears to be over with the crowd. Malenko seems to win all his matches.
Wait a second. I complained about Jericho? I don't recall this.
No. Jericho complained about
his
book.
I see.
He was complaining about just being a baby, just the regular baby face, but he seems to be over. And I even watched an episode where Guerrero took out Nash, Hall, and Six all by himself. And I'm like, well, looks like they're pushing all of these guys, or maybe that's just where I keep going and realize that they're still in the same place that they were. But it seems like they are fighting back in some sort of way that Bischoff was at some point behind them.
Well, I mean, I mentioned this before when I watched the show. I mean, it had been a long time since I went back and watched that Nitro, and all I remember during the Monday Night War was wrestling fans complaining that they needed to push the cruiserweights. And at least in like 95 and apparently through 1996, there was no lack of pushing of the cruiserweights. They were on every single show. Keep in mind, the show was only an hour long, and so they didn't have to put them on every show, but they did because they had great matches. They had exciting matches. You had, you know, Brian Pillman, I don't know if he was what you would consider him, but he was technically like a cruiserweight-sized wrestler. He was in the Four Horsemen. Ben wasn't the Horseman. Eddie was pushed all the time. He had all these matches. He was wrestling Ric Flair on the last show that I saw. I mean, these guys got a lot of time. I think the issue was just after a while, everybody was just in the same place over and over again.
Always wrestling each other, never having, right. You know, there were some certain storylines with Jericho, and there were very basic ones, but they were, there was a lot of time spent during their matches talking about other things to take place on the program, especially once the NWO came in. And just to answer when it went to 2 hours, it was May of 96.
There you go.
Hey, I want to bring up one more thing, and I think it's kind of interesting because I know, I guess, the industry is somewhat similar. But down here in Las Vegas, the strip club industry has said that they are no longer independent contractors and they are employees, costing the clubs down here like $40 million in back pay and benefits and stuff like that.
Man, those lap dances are going to really go up in cost here.
So if that could happen, because there was a caller about 2 weeks ago asking about what else could it do and being supportive and stuff like that. And I was like, if that could happen, why don't they defend pro wrestling in the same manner?
Here's my question on that. And this is because I don't know. Isn't it, as far as prostitution being a regulated industry, who is on the hook for insurance benefits? And did that play into any judgment when it came to independent contractors?
Wait. What did you say? Say that one more time.
Is probably, as far as health and things like that go in the state of Nevada with prostitution being legal, you know, who is on the hook for medical benefits and things like that? I mean, how are those things paid back into the government? If these were supposed to be employees, I mean, if they
he's talking about girls working for a strip club. I would presume that prostitutes would be independent contractors. I am not an expert.
I want to know about this. I demand a guest be on to talk about this because I want to know these parallels and what it has to do with wrestling.
I could probably arrange this. You know, a couple of notes here. Somebody on Twitter, by the way, was asking about the Nitros being back on the network. The 1995 Nitros were removed from the WWE network. They were down for probably about 3 days. And after ranting and raving about them on yesterday's program, they did slowly begin to return with new graphics. And so it is believed that they took them down just to, I guess, rebrand them. I don't know. They haven't done that with anything else, to my knowledge, so maybe they took them down. There was a Ask WWE Network Twitter that claimed that they were being taken down to make room for other stuff. So it is possible that there was an outcry, and they decided to put them back. I don't know. But the point is, they are back.
I wonder if women have to sign contracts at these clubs because they would have to be exclusive to these clubs that they were dancing at to not be
independent
contractors.
They might have to. I don't know. I think it'd be just like working at a Hooters. I don't think you got to sign a contract to work at Hooters, do you?
Well, I mean, but why would they not be independent contractors then if they decided to dance somewhere else? I mean, again, I'm interested to see how these things
Well,
are
if you worked
parallel.
At Hooters, Mike, you wouldn't be an independent contractor. You would work as an employee for Hooters.
Yeah, but they would, if I went out to get a second job, I mean, they couldn't block me from getting a second job. I would have to work that second job around that one if that's who I gave my commitment for.
Sure.
But they wouldn't prevent me from getting another job, whereas WWE would prevent you from getting another job.
That's right. That's right. I don't know. I guess it would just be whether you have, I mean, I would presume that at these strip clubs, you don't have to sign a contract. But if WWE, if it were determined that WWE had to change the way they did business and they had to pay and take care of their employees as employees, they would still make them sign a contract as an employee to not work anywhere else.
I feel, it's still going to be hard with WWE without the possibility of a union or anything like that to have people gathered together and deliver some force. And, I guess we'll see with the UFC, the deal with them being a monopoly, which, again, I don't think that's actually going to go anywhere. But it's always going to be tough when it comes to pro wrestling because, again, there's not a united front there. And, again, there's many, many pro wrestlers that just you do this and you have to take care of yourself. And that's the way it is. So it's always going to be tough when it comes to WWE. And is it really a big enough fish to fry for anybody like the government that would want to go after this?
Oh, yeah. There'd be a lot of money to be made. It's been suggested, by the way, that I need to get Disco Inferno on the show since he works at a Vegas strip club. I should get Disco Inferno on the show.
The Godfather, Charles
Wright? I get along with Disco Inferno. I think he's a really nice guy, but we both have completely different views on pro wrestling.
Bill Ding.
Actually, that's one I agree with him on. I do think that Bill Ding, the evil architect, was one of the great gimmick ideas of all time. But
it would have been perfect in the Faces of Fear.
Sure.
Could have been the wall. The wall could have been Bill Ding.
No, he would have been the facade of fear.
A wall.
Exactly. God, so many ideas. Everybody is retweeting your Alexa Bliss solstice photograph, Mike. It's become very popular here on the Twitter machine.
Yes, Alexa Bliss tweeted out a picture of herself blowing a kiss. It looked like she was doing it for you, wishing a happy solstice.
Chris here on Twitter says, there is at least a touch of excitement on Raw that rivals that of AWA TV in its dying days.
It's not that bad. There's no Larry Land segments with a airbrushed background. There's no cheesy Eric Bischoff. There is Tom Cole or Tom Peters, whatever his name is, but it's not
Tom
that bad.
Tom Phillips,
that's it.
All right, everybody, we gotta head to a break. Back in a moment here on Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I only have a very limited amount of time here, so I got to get all of this out. First off, scheduled for Raw tomorrow as of this moment, card subject to change, John Cena and Dolph Ziggler in a tag team match and a Divas Santa Helper multi-tag match. And you can watch tomorrow to find out if plans changed. I would also like to mention that I always plug the website. I want you all to sign up for the website. If you have not signed, or if you have signed up, or if you're a current subscriber, if you go to the message board right now and you go to the radio show section, you will see a thread that's called F4WWO Best of 2014 Compilation. Dewey on our board has put together a 4-hour compilation of the 50 best and funniest moments on the radio show in 2014. 4 hours of the funniest stuff. It is a compilation that is available right now on our board. And he also has links to the best of 2009, 2010, 11, 12, and 13. That is a lot of awesome moments that you can go and download the best of clips of right now on the board at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you haven't signed up, sign up right now and go listen to the best of 2014 list. It's one of the most looked forward to things on the board all year long. Throughout the year, people are putting ideas into the thread. What do you think is the funniest thing you've heard in a while? He goes through, gets all of them, and he makes a top 50. So you can listen from 50 all the way down to the number one best moment on Wrestling Observer Radio, Brian Avitti Show, Figure Four Daily, all of the programs up at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. Want to wish everybody a very happy holiday season. Have a great week. Enjoy the time with your family. We will be back here next Saturday and Sunday for more Wrestling Observer Live. Want to thank everybody for a great year at Sports Byline USA. All of you listeners as well. Mike and everybody, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.